Accessing Federal News Radio from your iPhone has never been easier. Go to federalnewsradio.com on your phone and click the plus button to add a Federal News Radio shortcut directly to your home screen.
Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Estate plans are only as good as the last update. You want to be an organ donor. How can you be sure your wishes are carried out? We'll discuss these issues and many more with our guest, Evan Farr. He's a certified elder law attorney. And actually, there's fewer than 500 certified elder law attorneys in the country. So I think you're going to find what he's got to say today very interesting. Evan, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, let's start off with the estate plans. And you wrote a very provocative article entitled, You Should Update Your Estate Plan So You Avoid Unintended Consequences. Now, tell me what that meant.
Well, if you don't do estate planning, all kinds of unintended consequences can result. I'll give you a few examples. A lot of people try to use a will, for instance, as their primary estate planning tool. When a will is not really a way of estate planning. A will is a tool that puts your estate through the nightmare of probate, which most people don't
realize. Well, a will is only saying what you want done with your estate. Is that correct?
A will says what you want done with certain of your assets when you die, and that's what people don't realize. A lot of people think a will covers everything, but here's an example of unintended consequences. I had a client a while back who was an elderly widow who went into the bank after her husband died to take her husband's name off of most of their accounts, which had been joint. And her daughter drove her to the bank because she wasn't driving at that point already. And the bank person across the desk who was trying to be helpful suggested to this lady, let's call her Mrs. Jones, that's not her real name, of course, but suggested, Mrs. Jones, since we're taking your husband's name off of this account, why don't we go ahead and add your daughter's name on the account, and that way she can help pay your bills and write checks for you and handle your legal affairs and your financial affairs. And Mrs. Jones thought, okay, that sounds great. And little did she realize the problems that were going to ensue from that. There were two problems in this scenario. Number one is Mrs. Jones came back in to me a couple years after this because she had IRS liens and judgments on all of her accounts. And that's because her daughter's husband had started a business which failed, and the husband had all kinds of lawsuits against him, tax liens. His wife, my client's daughter, had co-signed everything as banks require.
Boy.
And because my client's daughter was now subject to all these judgments and the daughter's name was on her accounts got sucked into this mess.
Oh,
and
my
she had
goodness.
Judgments and tax liens on all of her accounts. And to top it all off,
who would have thought about something like that? My gracious.
Exactly. People don't think about it. The bank people don't tell you about it. What she also didn't realize is that by naming her one daughter as a joint owner on all of her accounts, because pretty much all of her accounts were at this one bank, she had just disinherited her other two children.
Oh, my gracious.
She had a will that she thought, first of all, she thought was going to avoid probate, which was wrong because a will puts your estate through probate. But she also thought that a will would control all of her assets when she died. And a will does not control jointly held assets. So when Mrs. Jones died, had she not fixed this problem, then everything would have gone to the one daughter and the other two kids would have gotten nothing, despite the fact that the will said to leave everything in three equal shares.
Oh, my gracious. What a nightmare. Now, taking that a step farther, So what did she do? How did she get out of this mess? And were those judgments against her accounts, could you get those lifted?
We were able to sort that out after a lot of going to court and working with the creditors and, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in legal expenses.
My goodness.
But the answer to the question of how to avoid something like this from happening is to have a power of attorney in place. And a power of attorney is a document that gives somebody the legal right to manage your affairs, pay your bills, hire lawyers, accountants, what have you, caregivers, you know, handle your legal and financial affairs if you're unable to. And a power of attorney avoids what is known as lifetime probate. Without a power of attorney, if somebody becomes incapacitated, then that person's financial affairs either cease or someone has to go to court to have that person declared incompetent and then have a guardian and conservator appointed, thus beginning the process of lifetime probate, and probate is a nightmare. Sometimes it happens during lifetime for people who become incapacitated. The power of attorney avoids that. And probate also happens after death, which is the probate more people are familiar with. And that after death probate is avoided by having a living trust rather than using a will to transfer your assets upon death.
I see. But you have to have a will as well as a living trust, do you not? Are both of those documents required?
Well, when you do a living trust, have a pour-over will as part of your estate plan.
And
the purpose of that will is to take anything that might not be in the trust and to pour it into the trust, but it has to go through probate first. So ideally, that pour-over will doesn't actually get probated and winds up in the trash can.
So the power of attorney is a crucial document to have in any form of estate planning, isn't it? Now, you were talking about the conservancy. So if someone is put under a guardianship status, then that means that someone else is acting in their behalf. Is that what you were saying?
Correct.
If they're declared incompetent.
Correct. And a power of attorney avoids that. And as you said, a power of attorney is not just important, but in my opinion, a power of attorney is the most important legal document that every person should have. But of course, you hear horror stories about misuse of power of attorneys also. So there has to be trust involved. And
right.
You have to be careful when you're doing your documents that you're naming the right people to handle your affairs. So that's also an important consideration.
Now, typically for, let's say, a couple, then you would expect that each of them would have a power of attorney.
Yes.
That could be used in the event of the death of the other one.
Correct. Typically naming each other first.
Right.
And then typically an adult trusted child as an alternate and maybe another child as a second alternate. That's another misconception. A lot of married couples think that they don't need a power of attorney for each other, but they do. Because there are things, even though a couple may own everything jointly, there are certain things like real estate and many other types of property that if you don't have power of attorney for your spouse and your spouse is incompetent, you're going to be helpless and unable to deal with that property.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Evan Farr. He is a certified elder law attorney, one of fewer than 500 in the entire country. We're talking about some very interesting subjects that really pertain to all of us, whether it's us or our parents, things that we need to know about estate planning and taking care of our estates and ourselves, for that matter. Now, you were talking about the power of attorney. This is an extraordinarily powerful document. So, as you said, it's very critical that you choose someone that you can trust.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. All estate planning is based on trust, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Isn't that the truth? Now, you were talking about the, we haven't talked about it yet, but one of the things, if someone were, for example, physically disabled, and you had written an article on people who love each other actually getting a divorce so that one of the people in that marriage could afford long-term care. Tell us about that.
Well, typically, a divorce is not required for people to protect assets and pay for long-term care, because there are ways to protect assets and obtain Medicaid benefits for a married couple without having to get a divorce. There are dozens of different strategies that certified elder law attorneys such as myself can use when protecting assets for someone in a nursing home, whether it's a single person or a married couple. With a married couple, we can always protect 100% of the assets without the need for a divorce. There's one exception to that. There's a couple exceptions, as there are to all rules. There was a recent article I did talking about one of these exceptions where a divorce would be needed, and that was where the husband had so much income. Over $8,000 a month in income, which was enough for him to pay for the nursing home privately, which meant that he wouldn't be able to qualify for Medicaid, because the key to get Medicaid, one of the keys, is your income has to be below the cost of the nursing home. You don't have to be poor. You know, you can have $5,000 or $6,000 a month in income and still get Medicaid to pay the difference. But if you've got $8,000 or more, that's usually too much to get Medicaid. So that's a situation where if that husband in this scenario was about to go into a nursing home, because he had too much income to get Medicaid, all of his income would have had to go to the nursing home. The wife would have had no income to live on, and we wouldn't have been able to do any asset protection because there was no Medicaid qualification. So that was one scenario
where
would be needed, because in the divorce, the wife could get some of the husband's income allocated to her, lowering his income to the point where he could get Medicaid. But 99% of the time, divorce is not necessary.
Not necessary. Let's go back and talk, when we were talking about power of attorney, and I meant that at that time to ask you this, but I didn't. Let's talk about long-time unmarried people living together who actually have a union in their own minds of marriage, unless, particularly gay couples in some states, they can't get married. What do they need to protect themselves in terms of long-term planning?
Well, for same-sex couples,
or an unmarried couple that have been in a long-term relationship.
Right. Exactly. And we have we just did a plan for that, for people like that, a few weeks ago, actually. A couple in a loving relationship. They'd been together, had children together for over 40 years. They just never got married for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So though there are different considerations for those people, because there are protections for married couples and under the laws, particularly when it gets to Medicaid and long-term care, that asset protection that we were talking about earlier, there are many protections for married couples. And sometimes, my advice to that couple was they should really get married. You know, they were an opposite-sex couple,
yeah,
and marriage would really have helped them, and they were open to that.
Well, that would be true, too, then, with a gay couple in states where they can get married. They really should get married.
Absolutely. Marriage really
does
bestow a lot of extra benefits under Medicaid laws and under state laws. For instance, if you don't have an advanced medical directive, which is a medical power of attorney, as it's sometimes called, then your spouse automatically is able to make medical decisions for you. But okay. if they're not a spouse, then they have no rights
that's
to make
right.
decisions
and so
for you.
And so you have to have documents
exactly.
that say, otherwise somebody, or the state. The state may come in and do it.
Well, it's unusual for the state to come in if somebody has any living relatives. The state's going to look to the relatives.
But if you're an unmarried couple, is that going to qualify under – will the states look at that as that person has the right to make decisions for you?
No.
No, they're not. See, that's the thing.
An unmarried couple, the
You got to have the documents.
Will not have any rights unless that – the partner goes to court and becomes the guardian or conservator,
sure.
going back
sure.
to the living probate we were talking about earlier.
Man, I tell you, it's complicated, isn't it?
Well, it is, and that's, of course, why people need good attorneys to help them through this maze of difficulty.
Evan, do you have your articles? Are they all posted on your website?
They are. You can find them on our main website, which is farlawfirm.com. And also, we have a blog that's everythingelderlaw.com,
mm-hmm.
Where we publish daily articles, and we have a twice-weekly newsletter that goes out if anyone would like to subscribe. They can sign up at either web address and they'll get our twice weekly newsletters.
It makes you think, the things that you write about. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Evan Farr. He's a certified elder law attorney, and he's one of fewer than 500 in the entire country. It's a specialty that certainly is critical for people as they advance in age. Well, actually, you don't have to be old to do this, because if you're young and you're in an accident and you have suffered brain damage, you better hope that you've got all your documents in place.
Absolutely right, Shirley. The statistics show that about 40% of long-term care claimants are under 65 at the time
of
disability.
Really?
And in my office alone, we have seven clients where we have a male who is in his 50s or early 60s in a nursing home.
Wow.
And
we never know what's going to happen
yeah.
to us, so we just have to make plans so that our relatives and we will be taken care of. I mean, that's as critical as anything, isn't it?
Mm. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Really,
so again, the website is
farlawfirm.com.
Okay.
And our blog is everythingelderlaw.com.
Okay. So people can find some wonderful information there. And it just even, you know, everybody should read this, because these articles, because they start you thinking about the things. We don't want to think about dying. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it. It's painful, but it's something you have to do. So you're going to die, but let's plan for it. Make it at least easier on the people that survive. Well, let's talk about after-death issue of organ donations. What if you are a strong believer in donating your organs and your relatives aren't? How do you get past that quagmire? How do you get over it?
That's a great question, and that's where most people think the answer is that when you get your driver's license or renew your driver's license, you check organ donor on your registration form, and they put a little heart on your driver's license, and they put the word organ donor next to the heart. And that works for many people. The problem is that a lot of people don't realize, and even the websites for DMV in Virginia and DC and MVA in Maryland, they all talk about organ donation, and they talk a little bit about the fact that it's not just organ donation, but it's actually organ and tissue donation, but they kind of gloss over the tissue part. And that's what most people don't realize. People, when they think of organ donation, they think of the stuff they see on TV, which always has to do with transplants. You know, you're giving your heart, giving your lungs, giving your kidneys to someone else in a transplant setting. But when you sign up to be an organ donor on your driver's license, you're not just saying you're going to be an organ donor. You're saying that you want to donate your organs and your tissue. And that includes your skin, which is the largest organ on your body, and your bones, which are two of the most harvested parts of the body that are needed. You know, skin for burn victims, bones for bone marrow, diseases, leukemia, and so forth. And also scientific research. When you're an organ donor on your driver's license, that means your body, you're giving consent for your body to go to an anatomy lab at a medical school.
To whatever purpose.
Any kind of scientific research. It's not just about donating your internal organs for transplant.
Well, can you specify?
Yes, but not on the driver's license.
Not on the
driver's
license.
And that's the shortcoming.
So the driver's license organ donation is a universal donation of everything, your entire body.
Exactly. And some people are fine with that, but I think that the DMVs and the MVA need to be more upfront about that, and they're not. You know, I just went on to the all three DMVs in our local area today, and only one of them really mentions tissue donation at all, and then it mentions it once, and then it goes back to saying organ donor, and it just glosses over this whole tissue.
So it doesn't really specify that your entire body can be taken and donated for various uses.
It doesn't. So what you need, so if you are interested in specifying, you need to have an advanced medical directive that incorporates what's called an after-death directive or a post-mortem directive. Now, we include this in what we call our four needs advanced directive. And the fourth need is after death. And it asks, in connection with organ donations, if you want to be an organ donor for transplant only, or for transplant and therapy, or, you know, and are you okay with medical and scientific research, or are you okay with any and all use of your body? It also lets you donate your organs or tissues to only a relative of yours. You can be that specific if you want. You can even specify a certain family member. Let's say you have a sibling or a cousin who's on kidney dialysis, and,
right.
And you might be a match. You can specify, I give first priority for my kidney to my cousin Joe in Montana. And if you're a match, he'll get first preference. I mean, you can do these things through a directive.
So you can specify through a directive. But this is something you have to do. It's not going to happen through you're just signing up with your local DMV or MVA or
correct.
Whatever. Okay. That organ donation is meaning the entire body.
Correct. If you just sign
so
organ
now why
down
would – so I can understand how relatives might object if the entire body is gone. Maybe, I mean, would that mean you wouldn't be available for cremation or burial or
not
anything else?
Not necessarily. I mean, there are organ donation can happen and certain circumstances, and the body can still be buried and even still have an open casket. It depends on the timing of the funeral and the timing
right.
of the harvesting. So,
well, all of that has to be done immediately, doesn't it, in terms of the organs?
It needs to be done pretty quickly.
Right.
For the internal organs, it's virtually immediate. For skin and bones, I believe there's some extra leeway.
Well, Evan, as always, it's been fascinating. We always learn something when you join us. And today is no exception. So listeners, get out there and learn. Go to the website. EverythingElderLaw.com is going to tell you information about all the subjects that we've discussed today. And thank you again. Evan Farr has been my guest. He's a certified elder law attorney. And I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on WFED 1500 AM. And I thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.